Our living environment is important to all of us, I think. But as sensitives, it might just be that much more important to make sure that we really feel at home when we come home, and that there isn't too much noise in our environment, that it is nurturing and enriching in just the way that we need. So that is one of the things that our guest today has a special superpower to help people to find this. Even if they think they want something that just looks pretty, she has this unique way of helping people to get really to the bottom of what is important to them. So listen in and enjoy the conversation. Hello and welcome to this week's episode. I'm here today with Carolyn Gold, and I'm very excited because, Carolyn, you have quite a special type of sensitivity to share with us. But first, I would love for you to introduce yourself.
Certainly. I'm so happy to be here. Finally, we've been trying for a while, and I'm
very yes.
I live in Dallas, Texas, in the States, and I've lived here since 1981. Mm-hmm. I was born and raised in Mexico City. My mother was American, so I was very fortunate to learn both languages, English and Spanish, at the same time. Oh, and yes. I've lived in the States, different parts of the U.S. for many years, but I've lived in Texas the longest. Mm-hmm. And I started art school when I was six. Wow. My mother's best friend, who's in her advanced 90s, is a famous artist in Mexico City, and she started a school for kids on Thursday afternoons so the moms could go have cappuccinos on their own. And she taught us all about art and techniques and things. It was an incredible experience. And I know a lot of what I learned from her has gotten me to where I am today.
Oh, that's so beautiful to get such an early start, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Just wonderful. I can still smell the paint. I can hear the little spoon hitting the little saucer where she'd give us servings of different paint colors. It's very clear to me still. And because she was so famous, every year we'd have an art show in a real gallery.
Ooh.
And we were written up by the main newspaper. So the validation for children was incredible.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Mexico is a very colorful country. So I always grew up surrounded by architecture, nature, flowers, music, theater, everything. So a very rich artistic background, I would say.
Yeah.
I eventually became an interior designer.
Yeah. Using all that color and texture and getting to combine it, it sounds like sensitive heaven.
It is. It is. Getting to know every client and getting to express their needs and their likes and dislikes through the tools that I have, so that nobody had, even if they said, I like what so-and-so has, I'd say, well, let's find out what you like.
Yeah.
People are afraid sometimes to come up with their own because they don't feel confident enough.
Yeah.
And that's part of what I enjoy doing, is bringing out who you are, not copying someone else.
Yeah, not just making it look like something from a magazine or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, do you have a special process to dig deep and find what's important to people?
Yeah, I've developed like a sensory assessment. And I've used it on clients as young as age 5.
Wow.
And yeah, it's wonderful. So I find out all their likes, dislikes, some things are surprising to them, and they'll say, why are you asking me this now? And 6 months later, I'll go, remember when I asked you X? Here it is. This is why. Ah. So it all has to do with how our senses interact with our environment and the effect that everything around us can have on how we feel and how we process information.
Yes, and who's better to understand that than a sensitive person with less filter? I think we take in those things so much more powerfully often.
But right, little antennas that are going like this all the time.
Yeah, so it's really important that we feel good in our environment, because it can so easily be distracting or just uncomfortable or...
Exactly. And I don't think a lot of people are aware of what's around them. They become so used that they're blinded to it, but they don't feel well, or they can't concentrate, or they can't sleep. And I walk into a space and I go, well, no wonder. So really my first client, if you will, is the space. I diagnose the space and make corrections to it to help the dweller of the space. So
that's so beautiful. That's really a lovely way of looking at it, I find. Yeah, we tend to take our surroundings for granted, I guess.
Yeah. They're not storage spaces. They should be a haven, and they should make us feel comfortable and safe.
Yeah. Relaxed. Really give us that sense of coming home.
Exactly. What does that mean for you?
Yeah.
For every person, it's very different.
Yeah. Ah. Can you tell us a little bit more about how being sensitive played a role in your own personal life? Was it something that was acceptable when you grew up, or did you get... understanding from your surroundings?
I think being in this art school was very comfortable for me. I did not do well in real school, we'll call it. Sciences, all of that, horrendous. Okay. But I did very well in art school, and I did very well in design school, because I was in the right environment. If I studied history in conventional school, my imagery were battlefields and soldiers in terrible shape. Whereas when I studied history in design school, I was seeing architecture and art and furniture. So the subject was the same, but the camera was focused on two very different things happening at the same time. So my brain favored the aesthetic and not the gruesome.
Yes, absolutely. I get that. Yeah. When it's not just words on a page, when we actually see the pictures and almost sense what's going on.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's where what you were referring to as my special sense. Yeah. I have an interesting neurological gift, I'll call it, called synesthesia.
Yeah.
It's different for people that have it, but the explanation is it's when one sense is stimulated, it stimulates a second, sometimes a third or a fourth, which becomes overwhelming.
Yeah.
Mine probably, if I close my eyes and think about it, I probably have one for one.
Okay.
So if I read something, I don't need to see pictures. I will feel it. I'll feel the pain, or I'll smell it or something. So it can either be beautiful and wonderful or very disturbing. If on the beautiful side, if I listen to music, I might see shapes, colors. Mm. I can't drive and listen to classical music because I start seeing costumes and architecture. So it's a very safe thing to do. So I listen to talk radio where I may not even be listening, but my mind stays more focused on what I have to do, which is drive safely.
Yes, yes. I think that's it's a good thing to learn about our our gifts and our little quirks. And yeah, absolutely.
So a funny story about that quickly is I had a friend asked me to pick up some children at school and take them home. And I knew that being children, they were going to be talking in the back seat. And I thought, what am I going to do? Because it's going to be a distraction.
Yeah.
And I know to calm them, I should play classical music. But if I do that, I'm not going to be a safe driver. So I opted for they were like fighting with each other in the back seat. The minute I turned on the music, complete silence from the kids. And I just drove very slowly and was glad to drop them off. Change the station and the radio. But so it has a very soothing effect. And it was amazing how quickly it helped the kids completely transform, like instantaneously. So I like, when I work with kids, I like playing classical music because it puts them in a very different modality.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many interesting studies, the Mozart effect and things like that. It really is beautiful. And I think that's one of our gifts as sensitives, that that we can't ignore things as easily as others. So like if we are in an uncomfortable space or messy maybe or whatever, we can't just ignore that. So we have to do something about it. And I sometimes think that maybe that has been, you know, helping change along the way, because for human beings, as long as we can sort of live with status quo, we tend to do that. So sometimes it takes that sense of, oh my God, I can't function in this unless the air quality becomes better, maybe, or sort of working conditions or things like that.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I love that you have gotten to tap into your senses and your gifts so early on and make a living out of it. I think that's so beautiful.
Well, it took a while. And my first profession was in an international travel agency because I was bilingual. But it was fun meeting people from all over the world. I enjoyed that very much, but there was no art to it. And eventually, that's when I made the switch to design. I enjoyed it, but I thought I have to test drive if I can really do well in design school. So I took a correspondence course while I was a travel agent just to make sure that what I was hoping for was correct.
Yeah.
It worked. And then I switched over and went back to design school. And it was wonderful.
Yeah. It's so good to find that thing that lights us up and gets us happy out of bed every morning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love helping people through colors and shapes, as I say.
Yes. That's a wonderful mission to have, and a passion as well.
It is.
Have there been any challenges along the way stemming from your sensitivities?
I think my my ability to socialize on a superficial level, which is so important, like many of us, most of us, HSPs, is lacking. I don't know how to talk about the weather. I do it just to start a conversation, but that's not really what I want to talk about.
No.
I want to talk about the color of the light that's coming in and why it makes you feel better, but I have to start with saying, oh, isn't it a beautiful day today?
Yeah.
But yeah, superficial talk is an art in itself. And I've studied it in other people and I can't get there. I mean, they could talk about the price of tomatoes for an hour and then leave feeling they've made a best friend. And I'm thinking, they've spoken about nothing.
Yes.
They made a connection. And so we would connect at a very different level and just have to learn with time that not everybody's going to get you. And we all try to be gotten and liked, and it doesn't always work. And it's tough. I mean, it's not an easy thing. You just have to keep looking for people in your own tribe.
Absolutely. And I think that's my favorite part of doing this podcast, because that's what I get to do every single week. I get to talk to people who I know upfront are sensitive. And as we talked about, just as we met, it always feels, for me at least, so much easier to say hello, because I don't have to ask, oh, so how's the weather where you are? And, you know, we can just sort of skip that part and jump to what matters without risking that the other person finds us weird or feels offended, or because we get it. But yeah, I think I like that you said that you have been studying it and look at it as an art form, talking, small talk, really. Yeah, I'm not sure how good I will ever get at it, but I think I have just settled for letting people think I'm weird. So some of them do that anyway, so, and I can live with that. But I think it's so good to have a space like this where we don't have to apologize for being different. And I also find it so very important to get our stories out there, because we are not that rare. There is, some say 20, some I think even say 25% of us who are more or less sensitive and in various ways. So how many times have we met someone maybe who were also talking about the weather because they thought they were supposed to?
Right.
Yeah. So I think it's so great when you said that, okay, you can mention, oh, what a beautiful day, because then you can segue into look at the light that's coming in. And yeah, I think we can open up those conversations gently, or sort of testing the waters and see if people resonate with it. And I like to think that those who do will feel like they are being seen and heard, and feel comfortable enough to open up and be themselves, even if they're not aware maybe of the official label or title, if you like.
Right. I was thinking I learned a tip from someone along the way. If you're in a social gathering and you see somebody sitting in a chair by themselves, just observing, not talking, they're probably just like you. Walk over and say hi. You will immediately find someone to talk to that is happy to be against the wall and just watching the show. And I've done that, and it works. It's like you won't be turned down, because they're going to be grateful that somebody came in to talk to them.
Yeah, that's actually a really good tip, that keep an eye out for people, because we will recognize the signs, I think, if we are aware. Yes, the quiet ones, the sort of, a little withdrawn ones.
We do enjoy watching the preference. I don't feel left out. I'm like, sure, go have a good time. I like watching you having a good time. My good time will be very different.
I've always been happy observing as well, and I think it has served me very well. I think I have, you know, it has helped me learn to see what's going on and connect some dots, because taking a step back has helped me sort of see the bigger picture, maybe a little bit of what's going on between people as well.
Absolutely. I'm always connecting dots too.
Yes.
I call them a professional dot connector. So,
oh, yes. What a wonderful title. I love that. Yeah. I love that. Oh, and I would also love to hear what you would like to see the world turn into in the future. If there's anything you would like to change or a specific legacy you would like to leave.
Oh, thank you. That's a lovely question. I think I would like the world to turn down the volume in every respect. Too much visual stimulation, too much sound, too many scents and smells. And there's just, the term is visual noise for everything that goes on around us. Like it's only so much that the brain can take. And that's why I'd like to say my mission in life is to, at least in the space that you're able to control, in your home, to either learn or work or relax or anything, that you get to create your own peaceful world, that you can shut out what's going on there. I don't have the power to tell everybody to do what I want to do, but I can certainly help people who are sensitive. And some people don't even realize how sensitive they are until, you know, we have a conversation and might say, you know, are you, do you sleep well? Are you focused? Are you rested? And it's like, oh, well, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just want to tune it down.
Yeah, and I think what you're saying is that some people might not even be aware that something is off until they experience how things can be.
Exactly. The contrast of it. Like, oh, I thought this is how it had to be. No, it doesn't.
That's so beautiful. And you get to show that to people in your work.
I enjoy doing that. So, yeah, I transformed my conventional practice to unconventional.
Yeah.
In terms of my approach, the results are wonderful. They're just like our conversation. There's design that talks about the weather, shall we say. And then what I do is a much more profound practice, because it does transform how you function.
Oh, that's a powerful one. I really like that. And I promise the listeners that we will put your details, your links in the episode notes, so that they can reach out and get some tips on what they might need to feel like they're coming home when they need to. And I also like what you said about this unconventional, and that, and when people think that things have to be in a certain way, but they don't. Do you have any advice or tips or tricks about how we find the courage to not go with how we think things ought to be?
I think our bodies are very wise, and they start making noise before our brain makes the connection. So if you're feeling exhausted all the time, if you're not sleeping, if you're in a bad mood, you're not eating in a space where you should be eating, like, do you eat in front of the TV? It's more like symptomatic of why aren't you sleeping on your sofa? Why aren't you sleeping in your bedroom? Why aren't you having a long meal in your breakfast room by the window with the plant, like where you're sitting now? Let's say that would be beautiful space for all kinds of activities. And it's just, when you hit bottom, as with addictions, it's like, let's just close your eyes, close your ears, just listen to your body. And it's telling you something. It's time to listen and respect what your body's asking for you to do, so that you can feel better and have a much happier life.
That is beautiful advice. And I could even feel my shoulders coming down and nice deep breath. So thank you so much for that. I think we will leave it there and hope that the listeners are listening to their systems and their bodies for what they need to feel good being themselves in their environment.
That's beautifully put. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. I have enjoyed this so very much.
So have I. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.